Good to see you all. We do have a handout here today. Has today's date on it, and it is just ridiculously long. Just crazy. I don't know what I was thinking this week. It's just really nuts. So, I don't know how this happened, but this is really, really long, and we're not going to go through it. I'll hit some highlights, but you use it as a resource. We've really come to the very center of the book of James, right? James has five chapters. This is chapter 3. You remember in an earlier presentation here, we talked about the whole chiastic structure of James. And the very center of James is chapter 3, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 3. And it's about the tongue. And it's about, you know, be not many teachers, for you shall receive the greater condemnation. So James is talking to the other leaders and saying, hey, you know what, you really want this job. You really, you know, there's a lot of weightiness to this job, and you're going to be judged by not only the things you say, but the tone that you are saying them in. And so this whole book is really the crux of the matter is about our tongue. We're going to see that, hopefully, today. And so chapter 8 here in Jeff's book is called The Potent Power of the Tongue. And so let's stand and we'll sing as we start here, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues. Do the right thing with our tongues.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my praise.
There's really a great, great quote here from Eugene Rosenstock Hussey here. Anyone ever read any of his stuff? You're just itching. I wasn't going to quiz you on it anyway. But, I have his most famous book home. It's about this fat. Is anyone suffering from insomnia? I mean, it is really... It's called Out of Revolution. But the guy really does do a lot of really good things. He's a philosopher, historian kind of thing. And this quote is really, really good and does a good job of synopsis of what we're trying to get at here today. And this is what he wrote. I wish to pour the water, Michael will like that, the water of patience into the strong wine of revolutionary excitement. So here you are, you're in Jamesville, right? It's first century and kingdom is bursting and you got these enemies, you got this revolutionary excitement. It's like this wine, it's so powerful, but wine can cut both ways. He says, I wish to pour water, the water of patience, into the strong wine of revolutionary excitement, so that my contemporaries may not waste their time in feverish and fruitless efforts. No, if we are drunk with wine and fervor, efforts are going to be fruitless at best, feverish, destructive, as we're going to see here. So that's just a great, great quote. So getting back to James here, or Jeff rather, he says, we are now at the center of the book of James. If we recognize the chiastic structure of the letter, then everything moves towards James 3 and then away from James 3. So this is where our concentration is. So let's turn the page here and going forward here, I just have one segment here in chapter 8, but I want to start in a different way. Has anyone here ever seen the movie Hotel Rwanda? Only two? I mean, I really would recommend it as a wonderful commentary, not only on what we're going to do this week, but what we're going to do next week. Next week, we're going to head into the next chapter in Jeff's book, and that is this idea of a contagion where people will end up grouping together and their excitements and their fervor in what they think is a righteous cause. If it's not checked, it's going to end up in tremendous destruction. And so he's going to talk about this mimicking. And there's a guy, Rene Girard, we've talked about him before, who was an anthropologist, and he would talk about how every culture in mankind has produced scapegoats. What people do is anytime they're suffering, they fall into this temptation where they're going to align with people of like minds. They're going to listen to each other. They're going to have echo chambers, right? They're going to stir each other up, and they're all going to collectively have this contagion of violence against whoever it is who are going to be the assigned scapegoats. I say all that to say that the very thing I'm talking about is really played out in Hotel Rwanda. And in Hotel Rwanda, if you remember what happened, there was the genocide there. I think it was mid-1994 or something like that. And there were two tribes. And for us, I think we want to look at it in terms of red state, blue state, maybe, the right, the left, maybe, you know. And, you know, all the things were kind of the dissidents that, you know, we are feeling as being kind of those who are out of power right now. And so this idea in Rwanda is there were literally two tribes, right? I think they're the Hutus and the Tutsis or something like that. I may be mispronouncing that, but they end up really at war, and there's this tremendous genocide, really, with 800,000 to 1 million people being slaughtered. When I say slaughtered, I mean slaughtered. These people would go around with machetes, right? And they would just whack and hack people to death. And that's what happened in Rwanda. Well, that's that whole idea. And they were doing it not because they had any personal animosity against these people, but there was this contagion here of violence that was stirred up, and it was stirred up by their speech. And they didn't have anything personal against the group in the other tribe, but the other tribe became the scapegoat, the ones to blame. And so the people would take out the hatchets and they would just destroy the other people. But the opening scenes in that movie, this occurred to me this yesterday when I was thinking about this. The opening scenes in that movie is a guy is showing up, and there's almost like this boiling point in the culture. You could feel this growing. And he's driving around in a car in one of the cities there in Rwanda, and he's turning on talk radio. And one of the shock jock type guys are just, you can, as they're driving around, and they show him one time driving around, and the language that's being used in terms of the other people is getting hotter and hotter and worse and worse. And then they show another scene really early on in the movie. They're driving around and it's escalated. And then, you know, and then there's more and it's escalated. And it all starts with speech. And so these people are all being stirred up by this fiery speech, indignant speech about how wronged we are being by this other tribe who we need to destroy. Not just defeat, but destroy. And it isn't too far into the movie where he